Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 22nd. What a weird, random day. Nothing of importance today. And that we're going to talk about baseball. We have Brian Wu, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts, 40% CSW for a King Cole against the Yankees. And it's been weird. I gotta say, it's been weird because he came back from the IL from the forearm strain, and we, you know, when it initially happened, it was like, it's just going to be a couple weeks, he'll be back soon. It took us until May to get Brian Wu. And we then saw him get removed from that game because he had a forearm pain or forearm injury, tightness or whatever. We're like, what? This is terrible. They're like, no, he's fine. And I'm like, is he? And then he went to the Royals and he was fine. And then he was against the Yankees and just dominated. So I guess we're cool with this. 10 over 41, four-seamer whiffs is great. But also, 65% strike rate on both breaking balls. That is a slider and sweeper. I will take that all day. Really good location of that slider down and glove side. Pairing those together, you're going to have a 40% CSW with 16 whiffs. It is almost the flattest four-seamer in baseball. It was last year. It is 99th percentile tied with Joe Ryan at the moment. I could not figure out who the 1.9 was because the 1.8 for Wu. But it's such a good four-seamer. He throws it upstairs effectively. Like, there it is. That is the world of Brian Wu, and it's wonderful. Yeah, we're holding, and we're just thinking that this is the guy that we wanted him to be. Joe Ryan against the Nationals. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Speaking of flat fastballs, sitting 94.5. And you think to yourself, wait, hold on a second. When he came up, wasn't he like 91? I'm like, yes, he was. And then the next year, he was 92. And what we've been seeing this year is like, oh, you know what? 93. That's pretty cool, Joe Ryan. Now it's 94.5. So that's 94.95. Ho ho. Lovely. And he also really went Blake Snell blueprint just with the splitter in this one. We've seen some sliders and sweepers, and we actually have seen starts where he gets a little too happy with those. And it was really nice just to see Joe Ryan go four-seamer upstairs definitively, splitters downstairs definitively, and it worked out really well. Sure, it was against the Nationals, whatever. But this is the Joe Ryan that we expected to see. Andrew Abbott against the Padres, 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. This is actually the roundup of the Vargas rule. I actually had my editor, Felix Guo, mention to me, wow, does it feel like there are a lot of Vargas rules this year? And then in chat today, people are like, wow, feels like there's a lot of Vargas rules this year. It is the case right now, but I think I'm actually a little bit more open with that term because I'm recognizing these stretches and pretty much showcasing like, yeah, I think there are just some good stretches that are going on and not actually actually guys that are legitimate that will be sustained throughout the year. Andrew Abbott certainly looks like one because 2 strikeouts and 8 whiffs and 23% CSW and just kind of like throwing strikes in there and it worked out. It really is just a completely filled in strike zone, like a 5-year-old's coloring book. So I'm not really a big fan of this from Andrew Abbott. He gets the Dodgers and Cubs next. I don't really want to go after it. I know he's been doing so well, and the rule states that you should keep going regardless, but I won't. Sorry, Andrew Abbott. Lance Lynn against the Orioles. And by the way, sorry, I should mention, I know a lot of you have picked up Andrew Abbott regardless of what I've been saying, and it's been really good for you. And honestly, I'm just happy for you guys. Like, I'm not upset that Andrew Abbott has done well. That's awesome. I want him to do well. I hate it when I say that guys are bad, and I always like them when they do well. I hate it more when I say they're going to do well and they do terribly, but I'm happy for Abbott. I'm happy it's worked out for your team. And I don't really care what happens in the past now. It's like, what is it moving forward based on the information we have? Yeah, Andrew Abbott, probably not it. Sorry, but maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Okay, Lance Lynn against the Orioles. This was a suspended game. That is, it went 6 innings. I believe actually six and then, well, 5.5. Lynn went 6 of these with 1 unearned run. Which was a difference, prevented the Cardinals from just outright winning this. So it's a 1-1 game. It's going to be finished today around like noon. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He got the gold star because honestly, he kept throwing 4-seamers like it was the old days, and he took down the Orioles, and that's pretty cool. Nice to see that from Lance Lynn. We're not going to roll with this, of course. Garrett Crochet against the Jays. Really still just fastball cutter, but he did add in more changeups this time and leaving the slider on the side, which is still funny because that was just fastball slider the first game of the year. Now he gets the Orioles, and that's a real test. This is just 4 strikeouts in 6 innings, by the way. It wasn't like ultra dominance, but 3 base runners in 6, which is great. 0 runs against the Jays for a win. Yeah, it's the Orioles. They destroy southpaws. Be careful with that one, but it's a real test. Let's see how far Crochet has come along. He's going to really need that changeup in that start, and it's good to see that he increased its usage here. Brandon Fott against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 7 Ks, 5 base runners, and 2 earned runs. If that's really good, it was a low CSW, just 24%. And what happened here is it was a lot of sweepers that got by and then low sinkers got some strikeouts. He had 1 high 4-seamer for a strikeout too. It doesn't really speak to a sustainable guy. Like, I'm still waiting for Brandon Fott to show me something different. You know, something that is an addition to the sweeper guy that doesn't really have the most dominating fastballs or a changeup. Sometimes the changeup shows up fine, but a game like this is where, hey, you throw enough strikes, things can happen. It did in this one. That's good. But he gets the Rangers next, and I just don't feel like this is a guy you need to hold on to. Oftentimes, I do not blame anyone. After you have a good start from a guy, just start him in the next one, see what happens. You can always do that. You know, I'm not going to call you an idiot or anything like that. But like, no, how could you do it? Blah, blah, blah. Never. I'm not going to do that. I just don't really believe in the long-term skills of Fott, and I've yet to have someone show me, no, Nick, this is a sustainable thing. Anytime I get any sort of pushback on Fott, it's just statements about like, oh, he was so good in the playoffs, or he gets into a rhythm or something like that. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but that's not sustainable to me. Okay, Joe Musgrove against the Reds. We knew this would be a short start, and it was 66 pitches. He should be around 75 next time out, and that should be fine. Okay, Ranger Suarez. I'm going to do a video on Ranger Suarez after this podcast recording, so I'm trying to go a little bit quickly because I don't have too much time. He went against the Texas Rangers, got the win, 7 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 10 Ks. It's unbelievable. 9 whiffs. Kind of wild, actually. It's crazy. I mean, his changeup was better in this one than it was in the last one. I thought in the last start, the changeup was starting to wane a little bit. I was like, oh man, maybe this is it because it's the Rangers. Nope. He was just incredible. And props to Suarez. Like, I have to keep raising him on the list just because even if I... A guy like Suarez, who's just so good so far this year, even if I'm thinking, no, I don't think this is sustainable, I need to also weigh in and be like, Nick, you don't know everything. So keep raising him up if it keeps going. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Charlie Morton against the Cubs. did well, honestly. 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. Did not get the win. 1 run, 8 base runners, not good whip, which is actually the story of last year for Charlie Morton. He feels like a hipster to me. I feel like you're trapped. Yeah, 1 good start, 1 bad start, 1 good start. And I feel like you just don't know what you're going to get. He's a headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. I wouldn't touch him. Kyle Bradish against the Cardinals on the other side of Lance Lynn. Really good here with sliders and curveballs. Wasn't as unreal as we want, but I mean, he could have gotten another inning with 74 pitches in 5 innings. Was unable to do so. So yeah, it's wonderful for Bradish. I feel like we need one more start of him throwing sliders and curveballs effectively. Logan Webb at the Pirates. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He brought his changeup back. That's good. It was a weird thing gone against the Dodgers. It was an effective pitch here. But really, I think the winner here was the sweeper. 16 over 21 strikes on that pitch is a huge, huge deal. Because what we've seen from Webb is just, hey, I don't know what to do. Here's my changeup. Go and chase it out of the zone. Thank you so much for doing so. Fine, here are some called strikes and the sinkers in the meantime. And the sweeper, you don't really need to keep honest about. Well, now you have to. Hopefully he's getting a good feel for that, that will stick around. And then there's Cal Quantrill, and we're going to talk about him after this break because, oh my gosh, what is this?
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. Embark on a journey into a gripping narrative where intrigue, secrets, and unexpected twists await at every turn. Play as June Parker and investigate beautifully detailed scenes of the 1920s, whilst uncovering the mystery of her sister's murder. Rediscover the magic of June's childhood as you roam the vast estate filled with secrets and memories waiting to be uncovered. Gather compelling evidence and decipher clues, immersing yourself in a captivating world of discovery that will keep you hooked until the very end. Compete with friends and other players to see who can solve cases the fastest or achieve the highest scores. Are you ready to jump back in time, detectives? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Discover the secrets of the past. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
He went against Oakland. This is Cal Quantrill, the unquantifiable, formerly known in San Diego when he pitched there as So-So Cal, which I don't love because it's not necessarily the most positive nickname, but I also love because I think that's one of the most creative nicknames I've ever come up with when he was in San Diego. But Cal Quantrill against the Athletics, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts, 17 whiffs for a gallows pole. What? This is Cal Quantrill. 6 of his last 7 starts have been 2 earned runs or fewer. It was 5 of his last 6 were 1 earned run. This was a 2 earned run start, so fine. But really, 6 of his last 7 have been great starts. This is Cal Quantrill pitching for the Rockies. Absolutely ridiculous. You gotta Vargas rule this. You have to. Like, we're just at that point now. How is he doing it? It's the splitter. I did a podcast with Blake Meyer. It's on the Fake Baseball podcast last night. You should go check it out. They have a really good YouTube video of it as well. They're doing a great stuff there, Blake and Dylan. And Cal Quantrill was brought up. I was like, look, guys, I did a deeper dive. I'm probably going to talk about him with Eno today on the craft. But it's the splitter. The splitter is just really good right now. And you know how I feel about splitters. And I also know that if you have a good splitter feel for a bit, Matt Shoemaker, a.k.a. the cobbler of old, like, you can survive. And also, who are the guys that you think of that survived in Coors over the years? Jorge De La Rosa and Ubaldo Jimenez. And what do? They threw splitters. It's something of note here for Cal Quantrill, something he's never really done either. Threw at 17% last year. It's like 35% usage this year for Cal Quantrill, and it's working. His super low ICR on it. It's become like a 65% strike rate pitch. Like, there's your answer. That's how it's working. How much do you really want to bank on that? You don't, but it's a Vargas rule. Okay. You have Yusei Kikuchi against the White Sox. He did well. He can't stop. It's great. I will say the slider is gone, and he moved in the changeup, and it worked. Like, it was the right move. The slider wasn't working. He brought in the changeup. It was a 67% strike rate, better CSW than the slider. That's good. I hope it's just used as the backup, though. This all of a sudden doesn't become Yusei Kikuchi being curveball, turn, changeup, fastball. Because the slider should be better than it has been. And I don't really think that that's the move for the future. I think that's just a better package than Kikuchi having a slider. But maybe the slider's gone now. Who knows? Zach Littell came back. He was 2 starts of not doing well. And he got the Red Sox away from Fenway. 5.2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Good to see it. He got more than 2 whiffs on none of his pitches. None of them. He got called strikes right on the edges. 2 of them were out of the zone for called strike 3. I'm not a huge fan of Zach Littell. He gets Oakland this week. Obviously start him there. Okay, awesome. Cooper Criswell also had a redemption start last week. I guess both Littell and Criswell didn't like the weather or whatever in Boston. I don't know. 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks as they face each other again. This is pretty much the same kind of pitcher that we saw last week, honestly, and it just worked out this time around. So I'm glad it did for him. You can still consider him as a streamer. But he's not really someone that I'm like, oh, cool, Criswell gets a really good matchup. I'm definitely going to do that one. Clark Schmidt against the Mariners. Still being Clark Schmidt. I mean, the curveball wasn't as amazing as it was against the Twins. That was like, 50% CSW against the Twins? It was more like 24%. It stayed up in more arm side this time instead of coming down in glove side. Still, the cutter is waking up. He is throwing that in the upper half of the zone with confidence, getting a lot of strikes with that. You could say it's the Canville McSanchez a bit. Doesn't have the gyro movement. It's more of the horizontal, though, so it's not quite as fair. Still, he has a lot more confidence with it. That's cool. He gets the Padres and Giants next. I'm starting Clark Schmidt for both of those. Griffin Canning against the Astros. He fought through this one. He was able to survive for 200 runs in 5 innings. He gets the Yankees next. I don't think he's going to do that. John Gray was dealing with groin tightness. 75 pitches. In this one, 5 innings against the Phils, 32% CSW, 2 earned runs. That's nice. Vargas rule lived on, except that it's growing tightness now. And I do not believe that when John Gray comes back from injury, he's going to be the same. This is what always happens. He goes on a good run, then there's something that interrupts it, and then he isn't good after that. I'd be careful holding on to John Gray after this, but maybe I'm just being stupid and, you know, small sample size of all those things that I'm preaching about, etc. Javier Saad, finally, oh no, he's mortal. 4.2 innings, 200 runs, okay, but 4 hits, 5 walks, 4 Ks against Atlanta. Lots of hittable sinkers in this one. 3 out of 12 slider strikes. Seeing that, the strike rate being low on the slider is a huge deal. Why? Because Assad's been doing this with good command. This was not that. He does get the Cardinals, and you want to say, like, look, this is a one-night bland. You got to give him the Vargas rule plus at this point, which is that he gets one start of a benefit of the doubt, especially when you have a good offense, and now you're going to face a bad one. I really hope this isn't the beginning of the end for Javier Assad. It could easily be, though, because, again, the stuff is just not that good. Xavier Curry pitched against the Mets, 4.1 innings, 2 runs, and you've already forgotten about it. Martin Perez should not be in your lineup anymore, 4.1 innings of 2 runs. He is not going to do the same thing again. If he does, I'll let you know, but you don't need to do anything now. Gavin Stone had a 6-inning, 4-run, 8 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. My editor Felix messed with you guys because he made it the same color of a tooltip that doesn't exist. So, VPPQS. It's not a quality start. It's a poor quality start because you add an extra run in 6 innings instead of 3 runs, it's 4 runs. It's stupid. Doesn't matter. He's a Toby. He went against the Diamondbacks. It didn't really work out. He doesn't have that like electricity inside of his arsenal. I don't really expect much better from Gavin Stone moving forward. Aaron Brooks got a poor quality start against the Rockies. And yeah, that's him. You know, against a bad team, he can do that. That's cool. Gavin Stone gets, by the way, the Mets. Sure, he's a Toby. He can do that. Like, he can get you a cheap win. Alec Marsh. I like calling him Alec Menarsh now because I keep forgetting. I keep merging the two, Alex. And when he gets Detroit, got the win. That's nice. 6 innings, 300 runs. He had 5 strikeouts, 10 whiffs. He had his 4-seamer upstairs. Once again, that's a command-focused swing strike rate. You know, made a really good point that location matters more for whiffs and stuff matters more for avoiding hard contact. So he's throwing high 4-seamers upstairs. Not a good stuff thing, but he's getting whiffs on that. I don't really want to buy into that. It's not good for fastball shape. It means that he's carrying a very low floor. But hey, if you want to Vargas rule this one with Alec Marsh having that, totally understand it. He's in rhythm with that 4-seamer. Robert Gasser had a very strange start against the Marlins. 6 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits. So he got singled out. 0 walks, 0 strikeouts. 18 outs all in the field. If you want to say singled out, yeah, but that's 10 hits on 28, you could say. I don't know, 48% CSW sweeper and still had 10 hits and 18 outs in the field. I don't get it. Weird. You bench him for Fenway. Hopefully he shows enough. That's fine so that you can start him against the Cry Sox, okay? Christian Javier came back from the IL, had a terrible start. Then he came back and had an amazing start with the best version of Javier throwing a ton of strikes. And then he just had another start where he had dipped velocity into 90 and change velocity. Oh my gosh, he said like 91, 92, hopefully 93, 90 and change. And then horrible command and could not throw strikes. What? That's my noise. He was removed from this one due to injury, and they won't disclose what it is. Okay, they said his health is fine. I don't know. I'm worried, but if you need to drop him for a streamer, I guess I kind of want to hold on to Christian Javier. Like, I feel like there's something weird going on. If that gets eradicated, he should be good. Trevor Rogers against the Brewers, not very good, and he had a dentist last time out, which means he stuck around for one. He was there for one game and not going to stick around for long, courtesy of Dennis from 30 Rock. Yeah, don't do Trevor Rogers. Adrian Hauser came back from the bullpen. Sorry, I said the IL in the notes. I apologize. He was demoted to the bullpen, came back. He's throwing harder and then still was bad because it's Hauser. Okay. You have Patrick Corbin being bad, 8 earned runs in 6 innings because he's Corbin. And then there's Casey Mize. Oh, man. He worried us in the previous game because he had dipped velocity. He had better velocity in this one, but it was 1.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Obviously, he got singled out, but yeah, Toronto and Fenway next. We're not seeing the Mize who's dominating and overwhelming with 4-seamers. It's just not there, and I even expressed at the end of last start, I was like, you can drop him now, and did not come through here. So you can certainly drop him. We can wait for more. I've been banging the drum on Mize being rostered in under 20% of leagues. Now we can agree with that sentiment from the consensus. Okay. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We do have some updates, I should say. Dane Dunning, Nick Nastrini, and Mitch Spence are all going instead of Andrew Heaney, Mike Clevenger, and Joey Estes. Also, I should note, that's fine there. None of those are guys you want to do. It's still ill for Dunning against the Phillies. Nick Nastrini is interesting, I think, if he does get another, you know, if he does pan out. He hasn't looked great so far, but there is actually a good fastball in there, good slider, good changeup. Like, this could work over time. I'm curious what we see. And Mitch Spence, even though he does get the Rockies, not really the thing I want to go for. But maybe it does work against Rocky Road. I don't know. Looking at tomorrow's games, it's a shorter slate, just 16 starters in just 8 games. Zach Wheeler, Grayson Rodriguez, Kevin Gausman, Luis Castillo, Paul Skeens, and Jack Flaherty are all auto starts. Pretty obvious here. You have Flaherty in here because it's the Jays and he's just been on such a roll. You have the probable start of Luis Gil against the Mariners. Look, don't forget that Luis Gil struggled throwing strikes a lot this season, so it's not a guarantee, even though he had 14 strikeouts against the White Sox and the Mariners strike out a ton. It feels good. It's just not auto because there's still track record to iron out. Questionable start here. Yeah, Frankie Montas and Andrew Heaney could both be, I guess, a streamer. I don't like any of this. I could even see both of them being do not start, but they're just barely in that realm of, hey, we've seen it work and hopefully this does work out for them, but I don't want to do either one. Frankie Montas gets the stream pick because he, I think, is a little bit more stable for 6 innings of boring, while Heaney has a lower floor against the Phils, knowing his history. And also being worse with the Blake Snell blueprint last time out. Then you have a do not start of Joey Estes against the Rockies. There's an argument to be had that Joey Estes is a better start in the questionable start tier than Montas and Heaney. And there's a part of me that wants to flip that because it is Rocky Road and Estes does command decently well, but it's just so, so I don't want to do it. Matt Waldron, maybe he has his knuckleball working. If he has a knuckleball working, then great. But don't trust a knuckleballer. It's just not the kind of thing I go for. Darius Vines and Mason Black, don't really want to do those things. Too inexperienced and not enough of a ceiling. Ryan Feltner, no. Even though it's at Oakland, he has failed on the road before. Mike Clevinger, never. And the Cubs bullpen with Hendricks out of the rotation against Atlanta, absolutely not. That is it for today. Thank you also for subscribing to what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.